Man, God's given us a beautiful day. It was so hot this week. And today, look at this, Sunday morning, beautiful, beautiful day out here. And I just keep on being amazed by what God has been doing for us on our Sunday mornings and allowing us beautiful days to gather together. And I'm glad you guys took part of your day to spend it here together with us. I think God will bless you for it, for just taking out time out of your busy day to be here and to worship Him. And but I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I'm stalling a little bit because I'm waiting on Harlequins to get here. And she overslept this morning. I won't go into. Oh, Lottie's going to do the announcements, so that'll help.
Okay, all right.
Can you hear me?
Probably not. Here, you'll have to do them.
I have to do the announcements?
Yeah, they can't hear me.
Yeah, oh, you'll have to use the other mic, maybe. Yeah, Verna has to turn that up. All right. If you look at your bulletins, I didn't announce anything last week, but happy birthday to Joe Ames and Brian Hill. If you see them today, you can wish them a happy birthday. And I think it's somebody's anniversary today. Is it somebody's anniversary today? You don't know? Herman and Jesse's anniversaries today, so wish them a happy anniversary. Yay! That's an accomplishment, right? Another year with Herman is a definite accomplishment. So keep up the good work, Jesse. And Herman, we love you, you know. We're excited that, what? Oh, that was last week's. Here. But it is Herman and Jesse's anniversary today. That's why it wasn't written in there. I was like, I can. All right. Oh, man. We have only a few school supplies. This is something I want to bring out, pay attention to for our annual backpack or back to school bash. We're still going to do that this year. We're going to do it along with our food giveaway, grocery giveaway. We're going to do all that at the same time. That's July 25th, and donations are being accepted, so those items may be purchased. We have two ladies in the church that love to go shopping, and so they know exactly what we need, and so donations would be welcome for that, and they're just going to go get exactly what we need so that we don't have 500 of one thing and only 10 of another. You know what I'm saying? So, if Lord lays it on your heart to give, see Verna with that. And but also volunteers will be needed for that day, because again, like I said, we're not only giving out the school supplies, we're also going to be giving groceries out that same day. So we will need some extra help that day. So if you're available, mark it down on your calendar for July 25th, and it's going to be from 10 o'clock to noon. So it's just a couple hours. It's not going to be all day. So please help us out. We'd really appreciate your help. And let's see. We're gonna be buying some new chairs for the sanctuary. If you'll see that on there, that's also something that if God lays it on your heart to donate for our new chairs in the sanctuary. We have some pews that are getting broke down and just needing to be replaced. And so we're gonna just do a few at a time. We're not gonna just go out, and it just depends on how the Lord blesses us with that. But if you look in your calendar, we would be taking donations for that as well. But thank you all for coming here this morning. I'm glad Nancy's here today. God has just blessed her in so many ways. And I had a great conversation with her yesterday, and just I'm so glad that she's here today. And now I can go back to the birthdays here real quick, so I don't leave us out. On the 12th is Noah Wiseman's birthday. Yeah. He'll finally be, how old, Noah? 15. And that's today. Are you going anywhere special today? Okay. 14th is Presley Hoffman's. The 18th is Rick Mulback. So if you see them, and again, today is Herman and Jesse's anniversary. So just remember our prayer request list there. Go through that. Make it a point to take that list. Look at that list. Just look at it and just pray. You know, you don't have to pray for 2 hours, but just look at that list and put those people in your hearts and on your minds and just say, Lord, bless these people that are on this list. And God can do amazing things. I've seen it. I've heard people testify to it. And I know God is a healing God. I know He is an awesome and amazing God. And so, but again, I'm glad you're here today. Such a beautiful day. And we're just going to worship and praise the Lord today. And you guys ready? Getting there? I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me. Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I love that. In the middle of a storm, I'm going to sing louder and louder because heaven comes to fight for me. Amen? That's what we got to do, you know, and life throws a lot of curveballs at us, and we just got to praise Him more and sing a little louder and just keep shouting glory, you know? God's going to take care of us. Amen. We just got to raise a hallelujah. Sometimes we may not feel like it, but when we start raising a hallelujah, when we start praising Him, then things happen. The Holy Spirit moves, I'm telling you.
I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Amen.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
You know, I heard somebody say that there's nothing reckless about God. But the thing is in our human thoughts, it was so reckless for Him. Why would He send His Son to die for a guy like me? For the things that I've done in my life and the things that this world, you know, we were born sin. But God, you know, we would think that. We would think somebody would be reckless to make that decision. But we know that God just loves us so much that he looks beyond that. You know? Hey, man, God is so good. God is so good. Amen. You know, I know that life throws, like I said, curveballs at us, and sometimes we go through things every week. There's usually, we never know. I mean, it could be a moment. It could be in a minute, in a second, things happen. Sometimes we get up to do something good, and I don't know what's going on with my sound system right now. I really don't. But it may be that mic right there. Huh? It's good now. Somebody must not want me to say what I was going to say.
Say it.
But I'm going to say it anyway. Amen? Because I know how life is. You know, one day we're doing great, one second we're doing good, and next minute we're flat on our back with a broken hip. Amen? But sometimes life's like that. But the most important thing is we have somebody who loves us so much, and sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes life, you know, we get our heart broken. We just don't know what to do. But I want to tell you this morning, we have a Savior who cares about us. We have a God who just cares about us so much. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I know we're here in the parking lot this morning, but it doesn't mean that we can't worship Him. It doesn't mean that we can't just bow our heads where we're at or lift up our hands where we're at and just praise Him. And just come to the altar, because the altar is the feet of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Let's sing that again.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling.
Amen. We just praise you, Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord. Lord, we honor you today, Lord, and I just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. It is so beautiful out here this morning. Lord, you have opened up the windows this morning, Lord. Just let your Holy Spirit be in control today. Warm hearts, Lord, today. Lord, I know you stand at the door and knock. You stand there and you knock. And all we have to do is just open that door. If we just open up our door today, Lord, we just open up our doors today, Lord, to just let you come in and just take control. You come in and you sup with us. Part of our lives. Lord, we praise you this morning, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Woo. Man. Is my mic too loud out there? It's a little bit loud this morning, isn't it? No? It sounds really loud up here. Huh? Just keep on talking. All right. Thank you, ladies and Jack. Oh, man. Isn't God good? Amen. Man, this week, I tell you, I've been working on this, been thinking about this all week. And it's been hot this week. I've been moving, and I know I've been living in a parsonage, but I had our other house out there, and I sold my other house. God blessed us with that, and so I was moving some stuff out of there this week, and it was really hot. And man, God give us this beautiful day today. Man, isn't it wonderful out here? And I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning, but God has laid something on my heart this morning that I just got to share with you. And so bear with me this morning, because I'm going to talk about the seven churches. And it says, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. That means every one of us, right? He that has an ear, let him hear. And God cares for the church. Just as the Lord knew about each of these seven churches and their circumstances, their situations, the Lord knows and cares about you. I want you to know that this morning, that the Lord cares about you and your spiritual state. That's what he was addressing to the churches. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through, what you've gone through. He knows all that. You know, and in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation, Christ, he praised the believers. He gave honor to the churches, but he also corrected their failures. Now, we don't like that sometimes. We don't want anybody to correct our failures, especially as adults, right? We don't want anybody to correct us, right? But God has the, you know, he can do that. He created us, right? So if he created us, I guess he has a right to correct us. And just as God cared about each of these churches, he cares for you and I the same. And he wants you to reach your greatest potential. You know, this church of believers, we, right here, think about this. This church of believers that are gathered here this morning, you know, we can change the world. We are called by God to change the world. We are called to change the world. Think about that. We must take it seriously. We must take it seriously. God does. And if we look at chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, we find the first church here of Ephesus. And so I'm gonna read. I'm gonna do a lot of reading this morning, but I want you to follow along. I'm gonna go through this as quick as I can. But I think it's an important word for us this morning. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just help me read this morning. Just open up our hearts this morning, Lord. Clear our minds that we may receive everything that you have for us, Lord. Empty me, Lord, this morning, and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. And I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. And I have found them false. For you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, the church of Ephesus here, I call it the loveless church. You know, they were in love with Christ at first, and I remember when I first got saved, how on fire, that overwhelming love that I had. I wanted to share it with everybody. But after a while, you know, it tends to just kind of fade out a little bit if you're not careful. And that's what happened. This church was on fire. They were doing all these great things. And Jesus says, I saw your good works, but I have this against you. You're not as in love with me as you was at one time. You've lost that love that you had for me. And sometimes we can get so busy in life that happens. And the church at Ephesus was a hardworking church. They did not compromise themselves with the world. They were able to discern those who were false prophets and teachers, and they had persevered and not become weary. And we look at the definition of persevere is to persist steadily in action or belief over a long period of time, and especially despite problems and difficulties. That's perseverance. And I want to be one to persevere. As we go through life, we're going to meet hardships. We're going to have things that happen, and we have to be one that perseveres. This church did that through difficult problems. And, you know, they had lost their first love, and Paul had once commented in his scriptures that he commended the church of Ephesus for their love for God and others. But by the time the letter was written in Revelation, many of the church founders had died, and the second generation lost its zeal for God. See, we have to, that's why it's so important that we teach our kids and show them, testify. What happened? What did God do for you? That testimony means a lot. You know, they were a busy church, a church of many works, doing many things for themselves and their community, but but they were acting out of the wrong motives, and the work of God must be motivated by love from God, or it will not last. You know, we can do all the things. We can have programs. We can give out groceries, and that's a great thing. We can do all those things. But if it is not out of love, if we're not doing it out of love, the love of the Father, if we're not glorifying Him, then it is it doesn't mean anything. We're wasting our time. Verse 5, it says, I will come quickly and remove the lampstand from you. Wow. The lamp was used to give light, right? It says, to give the light and direction to the world. You know, Jesus is the light. He came into this world to bring light into the world, to a dark world. He is a lamp unto my feet. See? What happens if that lamp that is guiding you every day, that lamp unto your feet is removed? Wow, that's strong words, isn't it? He said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to remove that. If you don't repent, if you don't... Those are strong words. You know, and although the church in Ephesus was a sound doctrine and works, Christ warns that they would lose their effectiveness to be witnesses to the world. If we are to be effective, we must love the Lord with all our heart, strength, and might, and love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what Jesus said the greatest command was. That's the way we have to be. And then we move on to the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna. It's the second church. Oop, lost my page here. Okay, it says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is first and the last and who died and came to life again. And I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. It says, I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even unto the point of death, and I will give you life as a victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Amen. You think about that. You know, the church of Smyrna was a suffering they were suffering persecution, and not just from the world, but from some of those who claimed to be of the household of God. I've known several people that I've talked to, and I ask them why they don't go to church, and they said because they got hurt one time at church. Somebody said something wrong way, or somebody judged them in a certain way, and they got hurt. And then they quit church and never came back. I talked to a young man one time, and I knocked on the door of his house. And he opened the door, and I said, hey, I just want to invite you to church. And I was trying to, he said, well, I said, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, no, we used to. He said, my dad was a pastor of a church. He was a pastor for 5 years. And I said, okay. He said, but the church treated him in a horrible, horrible way. And he left the church, and he never went back. Such a sad story. But so many times that happens. So many times that happens. And this church was suffering so much persecution. And the Jewish population in Smyrna was opposed to Christianity. And how many times have you experienced criticism, not just from those outside the faith, but those who claim to be of the faith? And to what lengths? You know, I'm saying this just in... Don't let that get to you. Don't let that get to you, because it's not their judgment that you have to worry about. It's not what they think that you have to worry about. It says you will endure tribulation for 10 days. It says that, but only for 10 days. It's only for a short time. God's message to the church of Smyrna was to remain faithful during their suffering, because God is in control and promises His promises are reliable. He promises us, you know, a crown. He promises heaven. He says, endure it. Okay. You know, Jesus never said that being faithful to Him would avoid troubles, suffering, persecution. Only in our suffering will our faithfulness be proven. You will have tribulation. You will have it in your life. And God wants you to know that although you are suffering, and it may be severe at times, maybe more than you think you can handle, but let me tell you, it has been from the beginning, God has ordained. He set it into motion. Let me tell you that His Son would die on a cross for you. And yes, He went through suffering. He went through tribulation. He said, you're going to go through that too. But if you can endure to the end, guess what? You're going to be in paradise with Me. That's what He promises. Come on now. God is in complete control. Remember that. You know, and I know right now it's kind of the craziest thing going on in our world today. This life has got us all mixed up, even though, you know, I say it over and over again, but it's some of the craziest things that are going on, stupidest things. I can say that. But you know what? It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to endure it. We got to endure it. We got to go through it. And I'm just saying this morning, don't let it deflate you. Keep your spiritual fervor. I mean, you know, this is an encourage. We go through this, it's going to make the church stronger than ever before. Come on now. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it get you discouraged. God is in control. When you read this scripture over and over again, He's got a plan set right here in the Word. And He's going to complete it. And guess what? We win. We win. Keep the faith. Let's go on to the church in Pergamos. The church in Pergamos. It says, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these are the words of Him who has a sharp double-edged sword. And I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to My name. You did not renounce your faith in Me, not even in the days of Antipas, My faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some of you among who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of My mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear that what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Amen. You know, the church here is the city of Pergamos was the center of the heathen worship. Christ describes it as where Satan's throne is. Man, does that sound familiar? Sometimes I think that's where we live, where Satan's throne is, some of the stuff that goes on in our world today. And the church of Pergamos, though, stood strong. It stood strong even to the point that they were martyred. Some of them were martyred and put to death. And even though the church was able to withstand this attack from the front door, Satan reformulated his plan and entered the back of the church, entered the back door. And I think sometimes he does that. He is doing stuff behind our backs that a lot of people they don't even see it because they're not looking. We got to be careful about what's coming in behind us. We got to be on our guard, looking in all directions. Amen? We got to be looking. We got to be on guard because let me tell you what, he will sneak in those places where you don't think he's coming, and he will attack you when you're not ready. He's always waiting. He's like that lion hiding in the bushes, hiding in the grass, waiting for you to take your eyes and not pay attention to what's going on. I've watched those National Geographic shows before where you see the lion hiding or the leopard hiding, and you know, this little cute little deer's out there, you know, and you're thinking, oh no, he's going to get ate. And he, you know, but the little deer sometimes is paying attention, watching, always alert, always watching. But it's the one that takes their eyes off. And for just a moment sometimes, it's just that moment when we take our eyes off that he attacks. So be careful of that. And even though the church was able to withstand that, you know, you're being watched all the time. Remember that. You're being watched all the time. We got to be on our guard. Satan doesn't have to get you to stop coming to church or deny your faith. He just has to get you to compromise sometimes. And I think we live in a society of compromise today. And that's one of our biggest things we deal with. I'm telling you. He talks about the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were a people who compromised their faith in order to enjoy some sinful practices of the Ephesian society. And when we want to take part in activities that we know are wrong, we make excuses to justify our behavior. It's not as bad as it seems. Sometimes that's what we try to justify this. It doesn't affect my walk with God. Or even worse, I don't think it's wrong. But God's Word says, listen to this, Proverbs 14:12. Listen to Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the way of death. We have to be careful. You know, Christ has strong words to the compromiser. Repent, or I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, the sword is used for cutting and separating. Christ is saying to the compromiser that he will permanently separate them from the body of Christ. Man, that's strong words, isn't it? That's strong words. The church of Thyatira. Let's get there. It says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. And I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols, and I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burdens on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. Sometimes he's saying, just hold on to what you have until I come. Just hold on. I'll take care of you. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Amen. That one will rule them with an iron sepulcher and will dash to pieces like pottery them and then I have received authority from my Father, and I will also give them one, the morning star, Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I'm saying this morning, whoever has ears, let them hear the words that Jesus is speaking to the churches. Thyatira, the corrupt church. It was a corrupt church. My notes are falling down here. You know, the church of Thyatira was commended for growing in good works, and however they not only allowed, but they tolerated an evil person or persons who Christ calls Jezebel to seduce the saints. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning here, not to go into too much detail, but I'm going to tell you that sex outside the marriage always hurts someone. It hurts God Himself, because it shows that we choose to satisfy our desires our own way rather than following the Word and waiting on His timing. It hurts others because it violates the commitment necessary to a proper marital relationship. It hurts us because it brings disease to our body and affects our personality in a negative way. This immorality has tremendous power to destroy families and churches and communities, because it destroys the integrity on which these relationships are built. And you hear it all the time. Churches go through this. Things happened. You know, it says here that we are to have no part in this sexual immorality, even in our culture, even if our culture accepts it. Let me tell you, our culture accepts a lot of things today. A lot of things. They eat, you know, and then it goes on to talk about they eat things of sacrifice to idols. In the heathen temples, meat was offered to idols. And the meat wasn't burned. The meat that wasn't burned was sold in the marketplace. And I thought about this, you know. It's like they sacrificed an animal, and then they took the meat that didn't burn. When they burned it, they took that barbecue, and they took it down and sold it in the market. Doesn't sound so bad, right? You know, everybody likes barbecue. You know, but eating meat offered to idols wasn't wrong in itself, but it was offensive to some. And this violated the principle that was sensitive towards weaker brethren who would be bothered by it. Now, why do I say that? Why did I say that? When we look at what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles, I'll just read it. He talks about this in the book of Romans in chapter 14. He says in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another's, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables." I'm sorry if you're vegetarian. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. See what I'm saying? God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? And then over in chapter 15, and this is all talking about the weak and the strong. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good." It's for their good to build them up. You see what I'm saying? Now, those are strong words. That's why I said that, you know, because there were some here that were offended by that, by the eating of the meat offered to idols. And it bothered them. You know, the Jezebel described was more concerned about her own selfish pleasure and freedom than the needs or concerns of fellow believers. Likewise, God, you know, he demands that we be sensitive to the convictions of others, and even when we believe ourselves to be in the right or within our rights. You know, we don't want to, it goes on to say there, that we shouldn't be a stumbling block for other people. And sometimes we can, even though we become self-righteous, see? We become so self-righteous that sometimes we can become a stumbling block for others. that are a little weaker in their faith. And we got to be careful with that. We got to be really careful with that. We have to be mindful and loving and caring. Because we have to help the weak. That's what we're supposed to do. We got to help the weak. And the weak are made strong by who? Not by us. By the Lord Himself. He makes us. He takes the weak and makes them strong. To repent, when he talked about repent, he God gave Jezebel time to repent. He said repent. He gives us all time to repent. No matter what you've done, where you've been, no matter all the bad things that you've done or you think you've done, let me tell you, God gives you time to repent. I give you time to repent. That's what he says. And he asked for us to repent. He said, and this word repent, tell your neighbor. I want you to say this. I want you to tell your neighbor there's time to repent. Tell your neighbor that. There's time to repent. Maybe a little time. The repent means to change both our mind and our direction from following our way to following God's way. It's not about us. It's about Him, following His way. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. I'm not who I used to be. That's even louder now, isn't it? Amen. I'll let that go through just a second. Likewise, I say, so we got to repent. So likewise, God, through His mercy, has given us time to repent, to decide as to whether we truly will serve Him. And it's only our stubborn willfulness that stands in the way most of the time. It's us that stands in the way. Our will, our wants, our desires, and that's what he's saying to this church. Don't let other things get in the way. Don't compromise your faith to satisfy your earthly pleasures of the flesh. Don't let it happen. Let's look at the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, and you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains in you and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes, but will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white, and I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and His angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. In Sardis, not much is said here about the history of Sardis, but this because they were dead. They were dead, and Christ had no words of accommodation when we read that for the church that looked so good. He just had it for a few people that were in the church. There were some righteous people in the church, but for the most part, the church was dead. And, the object really of as holy as we want to be or look like, you can look the part, you can act the part, but if your heart's not in the right place, that's the difference. He knows the inside of you. You may look like a Christian, you may talk like a Christian, you may even try to act like one, but unless your heart is changed, then you're just dead to Him. That's what He says. That's tough words to these churches. The church of Philadelphia, I'm going to try to get through these quickly now. We're getting there. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. And since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. That's the rapture, folks. And I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it, and I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Listen to this. The church in Philadelphia found to be faithful, even though they were characterized as having a little strength. All you need is a little of God's strength. That's all you need. They were faithful to keep God's word and did not deny the name of Jesus Christ because of their faithfulness. God promised that not only will their critics bow down before their feet, but will know that God loved them so much. If you are a new believer or just going through some struggles and you feel that all you have is a little strength, if you feel that way, use that little strength to hold on to Jesus and He will honor you in every way. All you need is just a little bit of Him. And finally, we get to the church of the Laodiceans. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shamefulness and your nakedness, and slave to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, with that person, and they will with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father in His throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Whoever has ears, let them hear. You know, the city of Laodicea was a wealthy city, but always had a problem with its water supply. At one time, an aqueduct was built to bring water from the hot springs, but the water was neither hot nor refreshingly cool, only lukewarm. And the Laodicean church had become as bland as the water that came into the city, lukewarm. Lukewarm water is not really that great to drink, is it? The believers didn't stand for anything. By neglecting to do anything for Christ, the church had become self-satisfied. They were wealthy and had lost interest in serving God. We have to be careful with that, don't we? There's nothing more disgusting to God than a half-hearted person in name only who suffers or who is self-sufficient. Don't settle for following God halfway. That's what I say to you this morning. Don't settle for just halfway. Let the Holy Spirit fire you up in faith and get you into action. Amen? Come on now. The Laodiceans was also known for its great wealth, but Christ told them to buy their gold from him. Real spiritual treasure. We have to seek God for his gold that he has that is refined and pure. That's what we have to look to. Not worldly, impure things. We have to get into a right relationship with him. God will discipline his lukewarm church unless it turns from its lack of interest towards him. And God's purpose in discipline is not to punish, but to bring people back to him. And I'm asking you this morning, are you lukewarm in your devotion to God? Are you lukewarm for him? Then seek him for that fire, that Holy Spirit that can set you on fire, that can light you up so that you can be a flame burning that people can see from a far off place. The church at Laodicea was complacent. I've been complacent before in my life. It's not a very happy place to be. It's not. They felt self-satisfied and content in their present state, but they lacked Christ's presence in their daily lives. And I say again, is Christ present in your daily life? Is he part of your daily life? Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, and he'd like to have fellowship with you, with me. He's patiently trying to get through to us, not by breaking down the door. He's not there breaking down the door. He's there just knocking. And he's asking you to open the door and let him in. He allows us to decide whether or not to open the door of our lives to him. And I'm asking you again, are you intentionally keeping in his presence? Are you seeking him? Is he part of your daily life? And when I read, there's another translation, the King James translation, when it talks about the other churches, it says, to the church in Sardis, or to the church in Ephesus, to the church in, it uses it, but when it gets to the church of Laodicea, it says the church of the Laodiceans, because they were all about themselves. It was them. Why did I talk about this morning? Because this is Jesus' warning to the churches. And right now, today, in present time, not one of these churches that he wrote letters to exists today. They're no longer there. That's sad to think about. But the gospel is still going strong. The gospel is still going forward. Jesus is still on the throne. God wants a right relationship with you. And why did I talk about these churches today is because I wanted to share what God has for our churches. And that's not just for the church, it's for you individually. In the first chapter of Revelations, and I'm going to end with this, it says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Let me tell you, think about that. I think, you know, we're as close today as ever to see that sky to hear that trumpet, to see our Lord and Savior come back. We're closer now than ever. And I see the birth pains of this world and what it's going through and the things that are coming to pass that are scripturally written in this book. And he says, don't take one word out of it. Don't put one word in it. Just read it, believe it, and know that it is real. And he is, our Lord's coming again. And he says, I'm telling you right now, take it to heart. Repent. Listen, if you got things going on in your life, just give it to him. Give him the glory because he will forgive you. He is just to forgive you of your sins. And he says, just listen to the words that John said. Just listen to my word. And I'm going to give you a crown. I'm going to give you a robe whiter than white. I'm going to give you paradise like you've never seen before. I'm going to give you all this. So just hold fast until the end. Come on now. It's a wonderful thing. I know we don't understand it. I know we're going through some confusing times. But listen, God is still in control. And he is on the throne. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us this beautiful day this morning. Not so hot. Lord, we just praise you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, if anyone's here this morning, if anyone is here this morning that's going through something in their life, maybe they're in a place of complacency. Maybe they haven't been as faithful as they once were. Maybe they've lost a little bit of that love that they had at one time. Lord, I just ask, knock a little louder. Just knock a little louder. And I say to you, if you're going through something right now, just open that door. Just open it up and let the strength of the Lord and Savior, the love of our Lord and Savior, take care of your life. He knows all about you. You can't hide anything from him. Just let him be a part of your life. Lord, I thank you again for such a beautiful day. Bless this church. Bless this community, Lord, as they hear your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming.